Hi guys, welcome on this wonderful first podcast about AI. I see two other people also attending this wonderful podcast. Maybe it's good to introduce you guys first before we kick off. Michael, welcome to the stage. Maybe you can introduce yourself and tell me a bit more about your passion for AI and the company. Go ahead.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate the introduction and look forward to the podcast today. I'm Michael Kornhauser. I'm responsible for Trimble's North American transportation and logistics business. And I've been with the business for over 20 years and seen a lot of evolution in the transportation and logistics industry over that time. And with AI coming in, I think we're on the cusp of a bigger revolution than we've ever seen. And so I'm very excited to see how we can implement AI within our products and services to overall help the transportation and logistics industry run in a safer, greener, and more kind of cohesive way between the various players in the market.
Thanks. You sound really passionate about AI, right?
Well, it's an exciting time.
It's
seen so much advancement. We don't know what the future holds, but it is an exciting time, and we've done some amazing things in a short amount of time with AI, and I'm excited to see what can happen in the future.
Thanks for your introduction, Philip.
Hey, Richard.
Go ahead.
Thank you for having us here on this podcast. So I'm Philip. I'm the I'm Michael's counterpart. So I'm leading the transportation business in Europe for Trimble. I've been with the business for over 13 years. So also quite some changes that I saw in the industry. And obviously it's an ever-changing industry. And now this ever-changing industry that's constantly in movement, that's constantly to adjust, coupled with this absolute revolution that we're currently in with AI. And this additional, let's say, flavor of possibilities and capabilities that we can now bring to the table, that's really exciting. So it's a great time to be actually in the industry and to help basically shape the industry to adjust to these new technologies.
Thanks. It's a great time to be alive anyway. You know, if you look around, AI is everywhere. So it's really exciting times. So my name is Richard van Hooydonk. I'm a Dutch trend watcher and futurist. I travel around the world to talk about new technology and AI. And I'm really honored to host this and three other podcasts about AI. Today, we will just have a talk about what's happening around us with AI. It's the first podcast. The second one will be about agents, which is the big next step in AI. The third one will be about the dark side of AI, because AI is great, but we also need to look out really well. You know, a lot of things are happening. So I think it's good to inform you about that topic too. And the last topic, also my favorite topic, is how do we keep up? So the last part will be about how to become an AI-first company. So guys, I think these are great topics for the next three podcasts after this, I guess. So the listeners will be absolutely really curious about the topics. I mean, it's great to have you here today. Today will be about the importance of AI in our daily lives. I mean, we all live, and while we live, we use and see AI around us. What do you guys notice in your daily life when you walk around, drive, or, you know, do business? What do you see? Maybe Philip, maybe you can kick off.
Yeah, so I think, first of all, what you see is that somehow AI is touching a lot of your areas in your personal as well as in your private life, right? No matter if you have, like, Gemini helping you to summarize an email or review text that you were writing, or I'm about to be in Amsterdam very soon. So I was looking for restaurant options, but I didn't use Google. I basically went to one of those agents and said, like, hey, this is when I arrive. This is where I'm staying. Can you find me good restaurant that has a certain rating level? So you have your everyday helper basically with you, and it becomes more and more normal to also then just, you know, engage in a conversation, right? It's not just a one prompt line and then you're good, but you keep on fine-tuning, you keep on working with it, which is crazy when you think back 12 months when this was still, I think, for a lot of us pretty new, and now it becomes more and more normal for you to basically embed like really great functionality into your daily life. That no and again it's no matter if it's personal or private. I also use it to create shopping lists, for example. It's like, okay, I'm home this week for 3 days. Can you suggest some meals that I should prep and write it on my grocery list, which is awesome, right? And it just shows the variety of things you can do with it. I know that this is most likely not the most scientific and most advanced stuff that you can do with it, but it basically also shows how easy it is to get started on AI. Because of course, this change that you have to go through is also pretty big, right? So you need to start somewhere.
And I think yes, my son is 13, and when I have a discussion, he always takes ChatGPT to prove I'm wrong. You know, so that's also something practical. Yeah. I mean, what I see, I did a talk for Interpol 2 weeks ago, and they developed the man down algorithm. So when someone falls on the street, you know, if there's something, a person being attacked, it's watched by camera in order for the services to help these people. I think it's great what's happening. It's not only nice to write a letter or something, but it's really nice in our daily lives. I think, Michael, I mean, you live in the US, right?
Yes. Yeah, I live in New York City, and I have three young children, and I ask AI to tell my children a story about a dinosaur fighting a great white shark or something like that, you know, and so it comes out with a great story, and then the kids get into it as well. Yeah, where they say, you know, who would win between a T-Rex and an orca or something like that, just two species from, and so doing, using it with the kids is a lot of fun, and finding new interesting ways to implement it in your home life. Yeah. The example. Yeah. I like to cook, and so I'm using it for recipes and what if I try this in there? So it's fun to use it in your daily life, and then of course you get used to it and elements that then you can use in your professional
life. I suggest that you invite us to your AI dinner sometime, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It's not quite Michelin star just yet, but I'm working on it.
But let's go to the more practical side. I mean, according to research, 90% of the people use ChatGPT to write a better email, right? So that's not where it's about right now. So I would like to go to more like the serious concept right now. I think, for example, within construction, they use AI to listen to vibrations and heat signals to predict the machine breakdown, you know, the predictive maintenance stuff. So I think, I have an Aura ring. This is an Aura ring. Mm-hmm. And it warns me when my heart, sleep, and activity is wrong, you know. So it's healthy, it's practical, and it's getting better than telling a story about dinosaurs, right? It's getting better these days. Anyway, you know, a lot of those people from the parliament in Belgium, they usually use their phones during the meetings they have. And now they have a camera called the Flemish crawler. They scan people who use their phones and they publish them on social media. So I think there's a lot of practical ways to use AI right now. You guys are practically involved in the big logistic themes right now, right? Let's go deeper. How is it used within logistics right now? How can AI be used at this moment to make logistics better? Go ahead.
Philip, you want to start or?
Yeah, sure. So I think we have different or various ways how you can work with AI today. It starts with something I think that everyone again can relate to, which is predicting your time of arrival somewhere. Which is influenced through traffic, through weather, and all of the other things that basically influence your driving time. And then it can take, again, work with the information, when will you arrive, and actually, you know, either suggest a decision, maybe, you know, change the order of trucks arriving so that you basically use your personnel at the best possible way, or at least, you know, warn people completely autonomously to make sure that everyone understands where we are at. This is the one part. And I think if you use a sat-nav in your car, then you, you know, get the principle, I guess. And then the other part where it's very practical to already use AI is we have built solutions that completely automate the bidding process for freight procurement, so that you can basically give the tool your rule set and say, like, this is my walk-away price. This, you don't go below this price. This is what I need to, this is basically the corridor I need to hit. And then the tool basically will find the best possible match to your requirements by finding the best possible partner for you. So you take something that was or is still widely driven in the industry by people and like, you know, stuff that people have in their heads and in spreadsheets and everything, and give it to a tool that basically will be way faster and most likely still also better in the decision making in getting you really what you need to fit into your requirements. And these are real practical use cases that already exist and that get used globally by our network. So that's pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah, it's quite practical. Michael, I want to hear some amazing things. But what of amazing things are you guys doing right now in this field? Maybe be introduced or about to be introduced.
Yeah, you know, again, I think it takes it's looking at the user's workflows and trying to find areas where, again, AI can assist in those workflows and as Philip said, oftentimes do it much faster and even with higher accuracy than a human can do. And so it in general, it's kind of taking some of these manual processes that are still pretty embedded into the logistics industry that we serve, and how do we make them less manual, more accurate, faster, and have humans freed up to do the work that humans are uniquely built to do. And so it's really the idea of taking what is a manual process, call it making an email or entering in a shipment information or reading from a contract and inputting the contract into a solution. All these are kind of manual processes that humans should be doing. I think more intellectual based processes than manual ones. And so
we have some, I mean, business cases already. For example, last week I talked to a big company selling milk. Mm-hmm. And they now use AI to make prepackaged trucks. You know, they package trucks with AI, and they just save 30% of the money. They just told me. Are there any figures there? Can we share some data about the savings of AI? What it saves?
Yeah, I mean, I think would certainly, again, depending on the particular use case. Yes, I think you can. And we have customers that, whether it's, again, taking a process that Philip was describing that used to be very manual and human intervention to no human intervention whatsoever and completely automated, you know, that's where you get some significant savings. And you know, again, the folks that were doing that can ultimately do other work that then is helping the business and in other ways. Trucking transportation companies run on very slim margins, and so the ability to save cost in any part of their business is highly valuable. So, you know, I think we're finding these use cases in a number of different areas, and saving numbers like 30% of the time it took to do this task in the past is now gone, and that time can be used in a better way. So it's we are seeing some great advancements in all different pockets of the operations that we're serving.
To give you a very tangible use case, Richard, the concept of carrier vetting, I think, is something that almost everyone in the industry understands, right? You have a partner that you want to be as part of your network, and someone needs to go through some basic documents like you know, insurance. In Europe, it would be like the declaration for fair payment, these kind of things. And normally, this vetting process is done completely manual. We have automated this as well. So we have an internal AI colleague, basically, that does this vetting. And whenever some new partner wants to join the network, they go through this vetting process, and it's completely automated. So normally, you would need a pretty significant amount of staffing to do this, but we have this completely through one AI agent, and the agent does this vetting for us. And only if there's a mismatch, then basically it goes to a human being. But we can accelerate the onboarding process into our network through these kind of things significantly. Now, this is for our internal use, right? But just imagine we customize this to the need of a customer who says, like, I have the basic requirements already, but then I might have some customer-specific requirements as well that need to come on top of this. And if we enhance our agent to be able to do this, then we can basically apply to a job at this company and basically say, we are your
when there's people. When there's people listening right now, they can reach out to you and get the agent running.
They can reach out to us and can get into discussions with us how this agent would need to be customized. Right now it's for our use, right? But the step to be then a digital colleague that, you know, we could apply to a job posting that you have in your business is not that far off anymore, right? Because you're already there that you have something, and then most likely someone needs a little bit of tweaking that it fits to their needs. And this is like you would go into a job role. You also would have
to experiment internally and make it available as a product. That's really wonderful. Let's go to the next step, because we actually are already talking about AI agents. And this is where we talk about generative AI, which is a different kind of AI, right? Yeah. I mean, the AI we knew before was kind of AI that studies ranges of data and then concluded a specific topic. But this is actually something different, because with generative AI, we're able to create something new, which has never been created before. And that's actually the difference between AI and generative AI. One of the examples, you just write a piece of text like, I want to have a video of a duck walking in the street in New York. And then it combines, because it learned what a duck is, it learned what a street in New York is, and you see a duck walking, right? It's also, I have a few agents working myself, like a power trading agent. I have a CFO. Mm. One of my hobbies is day trading. So I use specific agents for my case. This is where it's getting interesting, because what I now see is that these language models, large language models, these are models that are trained to do a specific task, also are introduced in specific industries. So we now see them in marketing. We see them in finance. One of the examples I saw that the AI agent saw that more money came in, and then the CFO was talking, what is the reason of this? And then it said, people pay faster. This is the reason. This is how it looks like. What do you want to do with the money, right? So we actually get these industry-like language models. That means that we will have chatbots that serve transportation people, right? Okay. So that means that there will be specific jobs within logistics or supply chain who will be trained, especially for a specific task, right? Or an AI that manages a factory, because we know factories have a lot of smart machines, and AI is able to identify every machine and give every machine the right attention and adapt all the machines to each other. And that's actually the foundation of generative AI. Are there any dreams you guys have? I mean, you guys are launching right now. So how could it look like in maybe 5 years from now? Let's predict a little bit. Right.
Yeah. So I think in 5 years from now, there one of the basic concepts that we have right now with sitting in front of a, you know, set user interface, I think is not going to exist anymore. I think you will start being in front of a prompt and basically say like, hey, I need to do the planning for my load from Rotterdam to Barcelona or from New York to Washington. Can you please go ahead, plan my transport, find me the right partner for this transport, and then visualize all of my other trucks that currently are on the road on this lane. And then the set of tools that basically work in the background to fulfill this task, the databases, the data sets you have, and then the AI that you're having, plus the information that you have, as you said, in the data sets that you also generated already, will basically form up to what you have to see in this point in time. So I think it will change the concept of sitting in front of a screen as we do today, quite a lot in front of a set UI completely, and again engaging with something that is more dynamic and doing the work for you, instead you keying in information somewhere and trying to figure this out by yourself. So I think that is a basic thing that I think will change, and of course we are looking into how can we basically support in this process, while we also know, and this is for Europe, and Michael, I would be curious to hear your point from the States. We know that the industry right now is not everyone is at the same level, and not everyone is at the same page right now. So we need to help also to industry to get to this level by getting everyone where they start right now and help them to move forward in this age of AI. And you rightly said, Richard, there are different levels of AI. While we do this, the finishing line will for sure keep on moving, because this AI thing is like, it is, you know, it's evolving so fast. So I think that is my dream is basically that we are able to help our customers where they are today to actually evolve while we continuously keep on evolving altogether. And Michael, I would be keen to hear what you think in the States.
Yeah, no, I think it's very similar. And yeah, I completely agree in terms of the much more contextualized way of interacting with software or with a screen at the end of the day than we see today. And the kind of dedicated, you have to go into this screen to do this kind of task workflows, I think will significantly change. I think our customers are looking to us to help bring them into this AI age. They've heard about it. They're using it for document scanning or document creation and email writing and stuff like everybody. But they really want us to help them take them into that age. And I think that's the exciting opportunity that we have. And again, as we bring them into this new world, that as Philip mentioned, the finish line is moving and we're not sure exactly how far it can go, but the possibilities are very exciting. And
Philip shared a kind of a prediction, but I've been reading some research that 40% of the capacity resources we now use in the supply chain is wasted because things are not connected, which is a lot. So I imagine that, you know, that AI will create, you know, a 3D pallet and truck loading plants on the spot. So you, everywhere it is, it's able to adapt. But the big problem right now is data, because if you don't have data, you're nothing. So last week we had a great discussion about AI, but if you're not datafied, if you don't have your warehouses, your lorries, your stuff you're using digitized, you cannot use AI. And I think that's, we can have these great predictions with each other, but datifying, I think, is a really important step on short notice. And in the end, you will not use a prompt, right?
Right.
I mean, the factory will talk to the transportation system, and the transportation system will talk to the warehouse. That's what we want. But there's a long way to go, I guess, before we reach that point. Let's rewind a little bit, because we talked about the unimaginable possibilities of AI. It is really unimaginable. We do have some worries out there, right? I mean, there's jobs and misinformation and cybercrime. Philip, what do you worry most about at the moment if you look into AI and the next step of AI?
Yeah, before talking about what I worry about, I think you did say just a very important word, which is to worry also about cybercrime and the data, right? So you're right, the data is the key to this. And I think a platform and a network basically produces this data. So cybersecurity has to be on one of the first things we think about, if not the first thing that we think about when we deal with data, right? It's sensitive data and it's important data. So that's super important. And I think this is also then like, that's the thing that we, if you want to talk about concerns or worries, that this data is basically used for the good and for making sure that we use it in favor of the network and of the parties that want to, you know, advance forward and not use it in a harmful way. Now, talking about transportation, we want to build agents that help and we want to bring AI to the industry that help the industry to further evolve, be more optimized. You said 40% of waste. I agree. I know similar numbers and you're absolutely right. So this is what we want to use it for. But obviously where there's good cause for something, there's most likely also something that tries to have bad cause with the same thing for their own purpose, right? And that's one of the things that we need to take care of. And the other thing, when we don't talk about, you know, crime itself, but the other thing is also we need to make sure that we take people with us on this journey. It's a change journey for everyone. I said it, not everyone's at the same starting point. So we need to make sure that people understand that this is an enabler and that they also see AI as an enabler and digitalization as an enabler and less as an immediate threat for something. We always talk about the job losses or the risk that people would lose a job. But on the other hand, we also, and especially in Europe, I think, at least that's where I could speak of, we also need to be real that we have less people that want to do these kind of jobs, right? I think there's no like, you know, opening on a dispatcher job where like you have hundreds of applicants. So we also need to see the reality where this is actually an opportunity that we bring something to the market that helps us to mitigate this capacity crunch that we might have on having too little people doing a job. But we need to make sure that everyone in the industry also understands it, that this is an enabler and not like we come after your job now and want everyone to be unemployed.
Michael.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, again, similar things in the United States. I think the numbers in terms of the waste are familiar for sure in terms of what we're seeing out there. And I think that yes, the job market will evolve. And I think we've seen the job market evolve in history, maybe not as quick as we're expecting it to evolve now, but 100 years ago, 90% of the people were farmers, and then farm machinery came in, automated a lot of that, and we found other jobs. So I think that I'm not as worried about the job market mass issues that you might see in some of the headlines. I think we will evolve. I think we have to evolve to work with agents, to be managers of agents, and that's kind of a new skill set that we need to learn. But I think that
maybe I can add an example, because the listeners they really would like to listen to some concrete numbers. 2 weeks ago, we were visiting a company in France, and they have around 100 bookkeepers in that company. Mm. So we were checking out and with our team, and we found out that for the same bookkeeping now, you only need two people. So if you look into the company of tomorrow now with the technology now, you need less people, right?
And with a different skill set.
Yeah, but also less people, because the same bookkeeping is now done by 100 people. And I think the business case is important, that people really understand that an AI-first company is a different company.
Yes.
It's not just an app, It's a complete change process of people, right? I mean, you guys know that. You guys do this every day, right? And I think that's something important. What I do, we just talked about the crime part. There's a new hobby of hackers, which calls hacking of language models. And I'm actively involved in the crime scene, not doing it, but try to prevent it. to be sure about that part. And the supply chain is a really valuable chain, right? And there's a lot of money there. So AI is great. Generative AI is even better. Automation is critical, but we need to be aware about the security part. I'm aware that you guys also deliver that security, right? I mean, it's quite important. Did you ever heard about something that happened because of the wrong security in your industry? Are there some interesting cases to share?
Well, I mean, we do have, I don't think it's not because of AI, but I think it's something that can be helped with AI, where we have, it's pretty rampant that people will steal loads and steal loads by setting up maybe a fake shell trucking company and use that to leverage and wow, and steal loads. So there is straight theft happening in the supply chain of hard material goods, and so whether it's the carrier vetting process that Philip talked through earlier, or other ways of us leveraging, and this is again a way that AI can help us attack this problem, and so where the amount of research that can be done on these companies is again much faster and more accurate than humans can do.
Yeah, but the thing is, to wrap this part up, there was a case of someone asking ChatGPT, "My cheese is not sticking to my pizza," and then the answer was, "Try glue." And this is actually about hallucination. So the other part is, when AI goes wrong, the whole process goes wrong. Yeah. So we need to watch out. So I think we discussed some really nice basic stuff, I think, about AI. We will in the next upcoming podcast, we will go deeper with more interesting information about agents, about the company, and about how to handle these concepts. Let's wrap up the takeaways of today. I've heard a lot of practical possibilities right now, right? So at the moment, a lot of things can be done if you take AI seriously. So if your clients want to reach out because of the chatbot or anything else, you guys are advising them. So another takeout was we need to educate people, right? That was the second one. So there's a lot of practicalities possible. We need to educate people and we should be open and talk to our people, right? That's actually what we should do. I have one more question for both of you. You guys are leading quite a big company at the moment with a lot of challenges. What is your most important takeout of today? What do you take with you in order to think about it and to execute it?
Philip. Yeah, so for me, it's basically all the things that we said that we want to do with the market, right? Digitize, educate, and then basically make it or bring it to use. We need to do the same, right? We need to first do it internally and basically understand what we're doing, how we're doing this, and educate ourselves on the things we do. And then we can basically also go out to the market and speak about it with confidence and actually also act as the support for the market with confidence. It's not just go out and you know have a nice PowerPoint slide and say like, look at this, this is also great. If we really talk about being an AI first company, you need to live as an AI first company, and then you can start teaching the market. And I think this is also something the market will very fast understand who's really like really into it and who is just like riding the wave. I'm not trying to put anyone in there that they are doing this, but of course there will be people that just try to catch the hype, right? So we need to build the foundation inside of our own business first. We need to live this, and then we can basically also with confidence help the market.
So that's a choice you made as a VP, right? We gotta live it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I would echo exactly what Philip said. We have to live it. Our customers are expecting us to be the experts to help them at whatever stage in this process that they're in. And in order for us to be authentic in that and to really not only have that credibility with our customers, but know some of the pitfalls, know where the areas need to be checked. We are living it internally. We're using it heavily across all of our businesses, creating agents to help us out internally, as Philip said, before we put them out into the market. And that's really how we are being a AI first company is really living it internally as we then take our customers through it as well.
I really like the examples your guys are doing right now. There's a lot of companies who talk about AI, but your guys practicing it, I think it's really important. So you're also, your last message is you got to do it. Just play with it. Do it. Yeah. I think this was a really nice first podcast. Thank you both for your collaboration. A lot of great ideas and passion. The next one will be about autonomous agents. And the agents is one of the most important, interesting topics right now because agents can work together. They can agree on their own tasks and they talk to each other. You don't want to miss it. So let's meet each other really soon and talk about agents. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.